This is On Target St. John's, a look at politics, crime, education. What's happening here with the people who know? The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your On Target St. John's host, Linda Swain.
How are you all doing on this gray, mozzy day? Well, wasn't it warm last night? I almost opened up the windows in the bedroom last night just to get a bit of air circulating. Very unusual, I would imagine, for December the 3rd. I haven't looked through the stats yet, but for sure it is a warm December so far. Well, I'm old enough to remember a time when Newfoundland ponies were relatively plentiful. My own grandfather, of course, owned some horses, as they used to call them, and people used to have fences and gardens, not to keep the animals in, but to keep the animals out. Ponies would work through the winter and be put out to pasture, or more appropriately, left to wander the barrens during the summer, and then fetched again in the fall. The advent of ATVs and the introduction of municipal regulations imposing penalties for people who let their animals roam arguably sounded the death knell for the hardy Newfoundland pony that was sculpted by the environment. Efforts have been underway for decades now to help build breeding stock and preserve the heritage breed. This week, the Newfoundland Pony Society launched a major fundraising campaign for a sanctuary or to expand a sanctuary in the Hopewell area. Joining me on the show today are president of the Newfoundland Pony Society. You may know him as MP Jack Harris. Hello, Jack.
Hi, Linda. How are you doing?
Great. And Corrine Affleck, she's a counselor at large with the society. She also chairs the Newfoundland Pony Rehoming Committee, and we've reached her in Perth, Ontario. Hello, Corrine.
Hi, Linda. Thank you so much for having me on board.
Indeed. And thanks to Smiths Falls Hyundai, I understand, for giving you the opportunity to take an hour out of your day and to do so in a quiet space there in their showroom area. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
So, Jack, I guess we'll start with you. What's the current state of the Newfoundland pony?
Well, let me say hello to Corrine as well. Hi, Corrine. Great to have you on the show, too. Your introduction was very good. It gave us the story of how the pony almost came to the point of extinction, actually, back in and measures had to be taken, serious measures, to try and ensure that the pony did not become, we did not lose the pony. The state of the pony today is much better than it was back in the mid-90s when there was a concern that the pony would not survive as a distinct breed. But what's happened, first of all, is that the breed has been recognized by the government of Newfoundland as a heritage animal, and the Pony Society that I'm the president of now has been designated as the body who is charged with registering ponies, with protecting and promoting the pony, and acting in a manner to ensure that the breed is survives. And that's what our organization actually has been doing for almost 40 years. Next year is the 40th anniversary of the incorporation of the Pony Society, and we're proud to say that as of now, there's probably in 1993-94, when the House of Assembly took interest in this topic, when I was there and brought forth a resolution, there was estimated to be not much more than 100 breedable animals that were identified as Newfoundland ponies, and that was a big worry. And the numbers that we have now are probably in the neighborhood of between 500 and 600. We don't know exactly because not all of them are registered. One of the objects of our organization is to try and ensure that they are registered. Any Newfoundland pony that qualifies, we want to have registered because that's the way we keep the animal known, and we are able to ensure that we have DNA on all of these animals when we register them, and we're able to register the offspring so that they're identified as Newfoundland ponies. They have a value as Newfoundland ponies, and people would have a certificate of the registration, and it's important wherever they are, whether they're in Newfoundland and Labrador or in Ontario, where many are, and or other parts of Canada, and even into the States. So the animals that we're talking about, between 500 and 600, are in Newfoundland. I wouldn't say primarily, because there are probably more outside of Newfoundland, if you count Ontario, other provinces, and the U.S., but the numbers in Newfoundland are growing as well. We've actually had some returned to Newfoundland in the last couple of years through our rehoming committee and through the efforts that we did a few years ago in bringing ponies back from British Columbia. So the population is doing well, but we could be doing a lot better. I think it requires a constant help and a constant activity by our organization and by people who are caring for these ponies.
Well, Corinne, you're playing a bit of a role there, of course. Jack Harris mentioned back in the early 90s there were about 100 breedable animals. We have 500 to 600 by best estimates now. Not all of them are registered. Do you believe there's ponies out there that have not yet been identified?
Absolutely. We've come up across ponies all the time that aren't registered. So yeah, it's definitely an important piece of the puzzle to try to keep track of where everybody is. But we definitely do come across ponies continually that aren't registered.
So how did you become involved in this?
Actually, with the process of trying to register my own pony, I had to go through, it was about an 18-month process of digging up to find out who she was, who potentially her parents could be, and getting a pony registered so that I could get her registered. So it took me 18 months of detective work. And because I was so persistent with that, Clee Newhook was the president at that point in time. He had kind of suggested that maybe I should get involved, and then that's essentially how it came about.
Yeah, and it was a great thing, too, because Corinne, doing all that detective work on a suspected Newfoundland pony, where the process ended up in identifying several more Newfoundland ponies who, through DNA testing, we were able to identify as purebred Newfoundland ponies, and were able to register them as well. So there was, as a result of Corinne's persistence and conviction that she had a Newfoundland pony, we ended up with four or five more ponies registered. So that was a great thing to do, Corinne. And I think the efforts of people like you and many others through in Newfoundland and Labrador and in Ontario and elsewhere in the country, we have been able to build the numbers up over the last 2 years, in fact, or last 4 years. We've registered over 200 ponies, and we know of about 75 that are we are pretty that we have either have DNA on or are pretty sure are offspring of registered Newfoundland ponies that are not registered. And it takes a fair bit of work to track down where they are now, who has them, and sometimes convince them that registration is a good thing. So that's some part of the ongoing work of the Pony Society. In 1997, when the DNA testing was done by the Newfoundland government, there was about 200 or 300 ponies registered, DNA sample tested at that time by a Newfoundland government project that started after the passage of the Heritage Animals Act. And we started with a new number of 200, number 200 registration. We are now up over 900, so 700 ponies have been registered since about 1997. We're aiming to register another 100 in the next year or two. Hopefully we'll try to get those 75 registered, and hopefully we'll get them registered, and as well as newborns that have been born this year and next, we may get up to the magic number of 1,000, which would mean 800 ponies would have been registered since 1997, which is a pretty good effort. But, you know, a lot of work needs to be done, and one of the reasons we were organizing this Heritage Park out in the back on the Baccaloo Trail in Trinity Bay, there near Dildo and Winterton and Hopewell and these communities. There's a 25 acres of land that the government of Newfoundland and Labrador has leased to the Pony Society for 50 years. And we intend to build that as a heritage park and a showcase for the pony, a place where people can go to see the pony, because that's one of the things that we find. Lots of people, where can I see a Newfoundland pony? And there's no one place. There's people who have farms, or people who have a number of ponies, and they're, you know, busy doing other things as well, and they're not really set up to entertain visitors, although people do come. But this will be a place that hopefully we can have a little bit of an interpretation set up there with storyboards about the history of the pony, maybe some artifacts. There will be ponies there in pasture. We'll hopefully eventually be able to have a sort of a visitor center, but that's in the future. But primarily at the moment, we want to do some ability of people to stop and see the ponies, to have a good setup there for the public visiting. And that's what the fundraising is all about, to create this park that's provides some pasture land and has some stable facilities there for necessary keeping of ponies, but also to provide a showcase for the pony, and a permanent center, so that people can know this is a place where they can be able to see Newfoundland ponies and be able to understand their history, because they were a very important part of life in Newfoundland and Labrador, as you pointed out in your introduction.
My guests today on Target are Jack Harris, he's the president of the Newfoundland Pony Society, and the chair of the Newfoundland Pony Rehoming Committee from Perth, Ontario, Corinne Affleck. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And my guests today are president of the Newfoundland Pony Society, Jack Harris, and Corinne Affleck from Perth, Ontario. She's the chair of the Newfoundland Pony Rehoming Committee, and she was just telling us about how she got involved in all of this through her, diligent efforts to try and identify or get a history on her Newfoundland pony. Corinne, did you suspect you had a Newfoundland pony, or did someone tell you it was a Newfoundland pony?
Well, actually, she was my second Newfoundland pony. The first one I had was registered, and I understood that he was a breeding stallion, and that he had bred with this mare. And so I ended up trying to find the mare, and in the process ended up buying the mare, and then started looking for all the babies. And so that's essentially how I got on the track of looking to get Polly registered.
And were they in Ontario? Had they been brought to Ontario? Do you know anything about that?
As far as I know, Captain Sweet Apple is originally from Newfoundland, and Polly, or her registered name is Pallas Athene. She was born in southwestern Ontario.
Captain Sweet Apple, what a great name. He must be from Bonavista.
You know what? I don't know for sure. I just know that he was part of a herd that was brought over to Ontario, and that his owner's last name is Sweet Apple, and originally from Newfoundland.
A lot of ponies ended up in Ontario and elsewhere because they were people were buying them from, people from Ontario were buying them, and people were, some of them were shipped, some of them were being shipped out of the province for meat, and that was a big concern back in the 80s, and one of the changes that took place in the 90s with the legislation was that you weren't allowed to export ponies from the province without a permit from the Department of Agriculture. That was to prevent this trade, which was going on during the 80s, so we're very concerned about that. But along the way, some people would see these animals being brought around and would, in a sense, rescue them from the trucks as well. Others were collecting them because they wanted them. They liked those animals. So a lot of them did end up in Ontario. And there were some people, in fact, in Ontario with 15 or 20 or more ponies for a time. And so there was a fair bit of interest in Ontario. And we, as a Pony Society back in the 90s, actually showcased the pony at the Royal Agricultural Winter Fair in Ontario. And that got a lot of interest. in the pony as well there. And in fact, I think they got a Best of Show award for Newfoundland pony on at least two occasions, which is was pretty remarkable. So that kind of got interest in the pony, and we do want people interested in the pony because we want the pony to thrive and survive, and we want it to thrive and survive in its native land, because it actually developed into a breed here. Dr. Andrew Fraser, who was he's from Scotland but came to Newfoundland, and he was a veterinarian who spent a lot of time traveling around and recognized that the Newfoundland pony had developed out of a whole series of so-called mountain and moorlands ponies from the UK into a separate breed that was recognizable as such, and he wrote a very good book on it called, strangely enough, The Newfoundland Pony, back in 1992-93, which is basically the Bible on the Newfoundland pony as a breed. And the pony's interest has spread from Newfoundland and Labrador to the mainland, and as I say, to the U.S. as well. But we do need to do a lot of work to help this pony survive and thrive. And the showcase on the Baccalieu Trail near Hopewell will be an important part of that. Not only for people in Newfoundland and Labrador to be able to learn more, school kids and tours, tourists. I guess they have the tour buses that go up the as far as Heart's Content. They go up one shore and come down the other. There's the Wooden Boat Museum up the road. There's the Dildo Brewery is very famous these days with the all of the attention paid by Jimmy Kimmel to the town of Dildo. So there's a lot of interest in that shore. So we think that's a place where would be a good place for exposure of the pony, learning for school kids, going on outings and school tours to learn about the pony. So it's designed to be a good showcase as well as an opportunity for people who need pasture to use as well. So it's a fundraising effort that we're doing now is pretty important to build that up.
What makes the breed unique, Jack?
Well, it's a first of all, there's the historic aspect of it. It was, I call it at one time, the engine of outport life in Newfoundland and Labrador, because it helped the people survive, because it was used as a working animal, and it was part of the people use it for transportation. It was used for working in the woods, getting enough firewood to be able to survive with fuel for building houses and stages and flakes and all of that. So it was used in farming, and it was extremely important in the survival of people in this place. The Wooden Boat Museum, ironically, just up the road in Winterton from this place in near Hopewell. That's another part of a unique heritage of Newfoundland and Labrador as well. That allowed people, obviously, to fish and to haul their traps and to make a living, which was the principal reason for settlement here in the first place. So it's what's unique about it, though, is they have a fabulous temperament. So they're great for children. They're great for working with. So even people who don't have a great familiarity with horses and maybe afraid of them to some extent will find that they are good animals to work with. They're great riding ponies for children and adults that aren't too heavy because they can only, they can only handle a certain size of adult on the ponies. But they're also terrific and some places in Ontario in particular, people, and Corinne can add something to this because she's probably seen more of that than I have. They're used as for dressage and event ponies, the hunter jumper type things, and so people are breeding them for that purpose and using them in riding schools They're very good ponies for working. They respond very well to people. Corinne, tell us about a little about your experiences with your ponies and people coming to visit your ponies and children and that sort of thing.
Well, we can get to that now in a minute because we're up to another break. But I think the Newfoundland pony that most Newfoundlanders and Labradorians are familiar with are the one celebrated in Tickle Cove Pond, for instance, in Cotton and Holland.
Yeah.
People relied on the animal to survive. It was a survival mechanism. It was essential. If you had a pony, you were doing much better than most.
That's right. You could not heat your house without a pony. And the wood that you could get, and they would go. And that's what Kit was doing when she ended up on Tickle Cove Pond and went through the ice. That was a great story, a great song.
Absolutely. I tear up every time I hear it, even though I know she got out okay. We're up to a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about Corinne's involvement right after this. My guests today are with the Newfoundland Pony Society. They are President Jack Harris and Corinne Affleck. She's the chair of the Newfoundland Pony Rehoming Committee. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
We're talking about one of my favorite topics, the Newfoundland pony. We're our guests today are president of the Newfoundland Pony Society, MP Jack Harris, and Corinne Affleck. She's a counselor at large with the Newfoundland Pony Society, and she also chairs the Newfoundland Pony Rehoming Committee, and she's in Perth, Ontario. And Corinne, how many ponies do you currently have?
We actually have 11 and one on the way. We have two pregnant mares as well. So our numbers do fluctuate. We actually rescue and rehome here in Ontario as well, independent of NPS. And so our barn is a revolving door. We have ponies coming and going all the time. So the numbers do fluctuate, but that is our current status.
Arguably, the pony developed because of the landscape. To what degree does the environment shape the Newfoundland pony, Corinne?
The environment's made the Newfoundland pony an extremely rugged creature. He is built perfectly for his climate. A little narrow chest keeps him compact and warm. Short ears. Very, very furry, protect against frostbite and cold and bugs. They have a low-set tail and hooded eyes that helps ice and snow slide off of them. The ponies being isolated on the island for 400 years without interference of modern horse breeds has resulted in an animal that is pretty much free of any genetic flaws or diseases. So these ponies offer an amazing, genetics into the horse world.
They also have a very a heavy winter coat, is typical as well of the Newfoundland pony that came from surviving through the winters in the much in the outdoors. So it's a rugged animal, and it's the environment really, the traits that Corinne is talking about are the ones that survived in the ponies and grew through natural selection, as you pointed out in your intro. They fences were to keep animals out, so these ponies roamed around and they foraged on the whatever was grasses were around. But they also interbred over the summers, and that's where the genes all melded and became the Newfoundland pony. So it's the environment created the pony, really, which is a good way of putting it.
They also change color.
They do change colors. Yeah.
I have one. I have a radical changer. She is, Pallas Athene is a dark bay rowan radical changer with a star, and she is our resident groundhog because she will predict our springs. We have seen her coat changes early. She goes from pure black in the winter to white in the spring, and her coat has changed as early as February and as late as May. We had a really late spring this year, so Polly did not change until May, and then she fades out to be a beautiful rowan color for the summer, and then a dark bay for the fall, and then back to being a beautiful black dark coat for the winter. And we tease our farm visits all the time about it because they always think we got a new pony, but we say, no, she's a typical woman and can't decide what she wants to wear. So it is a really unique feature to the Newfoundland pony, and really quite fascinating to see the changes seasonally.
The one I'm most familiar with is the one that my grandfather kept for my cousin, Queen. She was a dapple gray in the one part of the year, and the other part, dapple gray with a black mane and tail, and the other part of the year, she was very dark gray, almost a black with some flecking, and a white mane and tail. It was really quite extraordinary. You sometimes looking at the pictures, you have to wonder if it's the same horse.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, that's a pretty unique feature for the Newfoundland pony. They're not all radical changers, but the radical changers are pretty special for that reason. They're very exciting animals, actually. They have a lot of appeal. I know Corinne has a lot of visitors, which has so many ponies. You told me recently that you had lots of visitors, partly during the COVID situation, because people could go outdoors and children would come. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, we've actually had a couple of programs running at our farm. One was Help Our Heroes Heal. We were offering pony therapy to frontline workers. And the Newfoundland pony is a perfect therapy animal. Its docile temperament makes it extremely safe. And so we also open our farm to farm visits as well. So people can come out and visit the ponies. And we do have other horses as well, but they are kept separate from our ponies. And I wouldn't in a million years think of bringing a group of children into the field with my horses and letting them roam around. But part of our barn visit is the kids come in to the pony paddock, and they've got 12 very curious Newfoundland ponies that are sniffing them and wanting to be friendly, and they're just so safe and so docile and so easy to work with that the ponies basically just sell themselves.
Is there a fear, Jack, that the Newfoundland pony that is being kept outside of the province may change over time? They are very adaptable animals. When you consider a pony walking on a flat surface over a rugged or hilly surface, for instance, alone, also the weather conditions and that sort of thing, is there a fear that the breed may change?
I don't worry about that. The breed is has changed in the province as a result of the conditions, of course, but the natural selection is what gives it the characteristics, and that has already taken place. So the breed is the breed, and the characteristics are there. And as long as we're breeding Newfoundland ponies with Newfoundland ponies, which is why we're doing the DNA testing and why we're doing the registration and all of that, we really don't want them to intermix genetically with other ponies or other horses. We want them to stay pure, because that's what the breed is. The breed is what it is now. And so our process is our whole purpose is to keep that breed as a breed of Newfoundland ponies. The characteristics that we're used to in terms of they're good features, they're good working animals, they're good riding ponies, they're friendly with children, they're good therapy animals, as Corinne has just pointed out. So what we want to do is just have the pony thrive as a breed, and people find uses for them. I don't think it's in danger of changing. They have winters too in Ontario, some worse than here. So I think the pony is safe as long as we're able to ensure that people who have them know that they're Newfoundland ponies, that are trying to find good uses for them, take good care of them, and also breed them with Newfoundland ponies, so that we maintain the breed and increase the breed, so that we still have the genetic diversity that we need.
Corinne, you are involved with rehoming Newfoundland ponies. How is that process going?
Oh, we have a very active rehoming committee, and essentially we just find placements for ponies that need a new home. There's many things that can happen in the life of a pony owner which can force a decision to find a new situation for their pony, whether it's financial changes, location changes, health issues, time constraints, whatever the reason, trying to find that safe solution for their equine friend. 2020 has been a very challenging year. We have had a record number of ponies surrendered to us, 25 this year so far, with COVID driving job losses and reaping havoc on the economy. The current hay prices in Ontario and Newfoundland are extremely high. They're probably double what we're normally paying. These are all contributing factors to us being a very busy rehoming committee. And from the perspective of the rehoming committee, this pony park has the potential to help keep ponies on the island by offering pony owners a place for their ponies to graze maybe 4 to 6 months a year. And this could be a substantial savings for their pony care costs, especially if they are boarding their ponies. And for those who have their ponies at home, it would free up pasture land to secure a better hay supply for the winter. So ponies are surrendered to NPS for rehoming. They could be housed potentially there on the pasture as well when we are in the process of going through the applications to find homes for them. So the park certainly has potential to help the rehoming committee in our work as well.
Well, that was my next question, Jack. How can we make it easier for people to keep and care for a pony? I mentioned some of the municipal regulations that came in the 80s that arguably hastened the near demise of the Newfoundland pony. Can municipalities be doing more to help out?
Well, yes, they can. I think, first of all, and some are, and the fact there's in Victoria, near Carbonear has a pasture nearby that's been used as a pony pasture for a number of years, a Swansea pasture that's owned by the town and was operated for a number of years. Other communities are not as friendly in the sense that they see the pony as some communities will say you're not allowed to have ponies in the community, which is frankly I think a lack of understanding of the role that ponies have played and historically, and the fact that there may need to be rules, of course, but that's true for lots of things. But the communities can make sure that there's, if they have pastures available, that they are friendly to ponies, and that they. There are other programs that we're working on developing too, which is asking landowners who have pasture land that may have been in use in the past but is not now being used to work out an agreement with the Pony Society to make that available for pony pasture. We don't have as much land. We don't have as much pasture land in Newfoundland as there is in other places. We don't have large farms here that are quite common in Ontario, say, for example. Many people, if you have land, you have 40 acres or you have 160 acres or you have, historically the farmland developed in Ontario that way. So it's a lot easier to keep ponies if you have that kind of land. But so in Newfoundland, we have to improvise, but there is pasture land around. As Corinne has pointed out, if there is community pasture that's available and you have to have some of your own, you can grow hay on your own and put the pony on a community pasture in the summertime to help make it happen. So some of these rules have to change. We have to encourage the government, of course, to be able to make pasture land available to pony owners as well as other farm animals, whether it be sheep or cows that people keep. So we're trying to encourage these policies along the way.
My guests today on On Target St. John's are President of the Newfoundland Pony Society, Jack Harris, you just heard from him, and Corinne Affleck. She's a counselor at large with the Society and chairs the Newfoundland Pony Rehoming Committee. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And And today we're talking to Jack Harris. He's the president of the Newfoundland Pony Society, and Corinne Affleck. And I was wondering, Jack, when you mentioned some of the numbers and the breeding program and getting those numbers back up to, you know, 500-600 animals, how important is it to maintain the breeding status, I guess, of your pony if you happen to have one? Does registration require that, you know, you have to... let people know if you decide to get it fixed, so to speak?
We don't require that, although we ask people to let us know. What we're trying to do is establish a situation where, you know, and we do this through our website. You know, the Newfoundland Pony Society website has is open, of course, and there's a Facebook page as well that Corinne manages. But on our website, we have what we now call a lineage report, but it's going to be transformed into a herd book with the list of all the ponies with their numbers and the names and the sires and dams. There's a family tree there, so you can show where it comes from, and also the offsprings that come from that pony. And we have people contributing pictures now, which will be up there so people can look at different animals. So we're trying to encourage breeding. Stallions are hard to keep, so they're sometimes people feel the need to have them gelded. We encourage every pony owner to at least ensure that they're passing on the genes, so that if that becomes a necessity, that an opportunity to breed should happen first. So there's a whole series of management like that we try to encourage in terms of knowledge. But we do want to see the animals breed, because we do need to keep the numbers up, and they need to save all of the different breeding lines as well. So it's part of the overall work that we do. But sometimes getting people to tell us even that they've sold a pony or where the pony is a bit of a chore. So we had students for 2 years in a row. We had students contacting previous owners, trying to find out where the ponies are, tracking them down, building up or making sure our database is as up to date as possible. But it's an ongoing thing, and as we build up the prominence of the pony, I think we're going to get more cooperation on that score, and the value of it will be recognized.
Corinne, is it possible to store sperm? If somebody has a stallion, they say it's too tough for me to keep this stallion going like it is, I have to get him gelded. But is there a way to perhaps store sperm, as I know they often do with other breeds?
It is. It is possible, and there are some individuals who do participate in programs like that. It is also very costly, though, and to be quite honest, the average Newfoundland pony owner probably is not in position to be using artificial insemination or collection and storing as a viable option. Like Jack was saying, our lineage report on the website, trying to find out maybe if you have a mare, you know, her family history, and then, you know, checking to see what kind of stallions might be near you and making the best breeding decisions from that. There's a lot of travel back and forth between ponies. I presently have a pony from Newfoundland at my stable. She'll be with us for 8 years. Her name's Salty. We love her. And she'll probably have a foal while she's here. Well, that's the plan. And hopefully, if her owner decides, we will send her home pregnant and try to get those bloodlines going back and forth between the different provinces. We see that probably more than we see the artificial insemination used. And it is just essentially the costs that come with that make it so difficult.
One of the features of a Newfoundland pony is that they're long-lived, and they can breed. A mare can breed till quite late in her life. Is that right, Jack?
If they are start... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
Okay, if they're started early enough, so if a mare is, you know, having a baby by the time, like, she's 7 or 8, or essentially before she hits about 15, her chances of catching are much better. If the mare is left to be a bit older, 16, 17, the chances of them actually conceiving gets lower if they haven't had babies beforehand. And yes, I know of a mare that's 22 that just had a foal this year, one of the 18 foals that were born this year. And so, yes, they can have babies quite long into their life, but it really does become crucial that ponies get into the breeding program at a fairly early age. I have myself a pony at the farm right now who is 17. We got her too late in the season to breed her, and so she'll be bred this coming spring, and she's never had a foal, no one to continue her bloodline. So really important that we try to breed this mare, but her chances are a lot lower than someone who, you know, would have been used for breeding at an earlier age. So lots of things to consider for sure.
So when you're breeding them, is it better just to put them in that corral all together and let nature take its course, so to speak, you know, just mixing it up a bit? Or is it a little more deliberate, like this mare with this stallion?
So it's probably, for us, it's a little bit more deliberate. We keep close tabs on our mares. We know their cycles. They operate on about a 21-day cycle, so we watch their heats and bring the mare in with the stallion. Sometimes they will be on lead lines, sometimes not. Typically, our Newfoundland pony stallions are fairly gentle on the mares. They're not like a lot of horse breeds where you know, they can be pretty nasty to each other. Typically, they're gentlemen, and so usually not too much involvement. But the mares will reject them when they're not in the mood, so not in heat. So it's not usually that advantageous to leave them together. So typically, that's what we would do. Usually pasture breeding, and they're in there together for 4 or 5 days, and then once the mare is out of heat, we would separate them. And then knowing about 21 days later would be her next cycle, we'll bring the mare back in and see how she responds to the stallion. And that usually is a good indication of whether she's taken or not. So if she's got no interest, a lot of times it means that she's taken and that we've got a baby coming.
Jack, I've heard stories of Newfoundland pony mares up in their late 20s, sometimes early 30s, who have foals.
I think that would be rare, but if they've been used to having offspring throughout their adulthood, that can happen very late, as late as that, yes. But it would be infrequent. I wonder, Linda, I know we're getting close to the end time. Perhaps we could tell your listeners, if they want to help with this fundraising campaign for the Heritage Park, how they could do that.
Absolutely. So your goal is $250,000, is that correct?
That's correct. Now, we actually have some money already raised, a few substantial donations, so before we launch the program. But there's more than two ways, but the easy way that your listeners can find out a little bit more is to go on our website, which is newfoundlandpony.com, and there's some information about the Heritage Park program there, and as well, or people can donate through that website or through Canada Helps, which is a national charities program where you can go into that organization. Can't go through Canada Helps. Type in the Newfoundland Pony, and you'll see where you can donate, and with an instant, not an instant, but a tax receipt sent to you very, very quickly. And we'll be developing this program as we go forward. We just launched it now to formally launch the idea. We have the phase one would be to do a fair bit of a groundwork, improve the pasture land to slightly do a little bit of clearing. This 11 acres acres that have been cleared in the past. I think it needs a bit of work, but also some fencing and upgrading of our water supply system and some buildings that are there. So that's the phase one, and also improve the place for visitors to come and the entryway and some parking and perhaps some picnic tables and things like that. So that'll be the first phase, but we have other plans as we move forward.
Literally seconds left. When do you hope have it open to the public?
Well, by next spring, I think we should be able to have ponies on the ground there, and hopefully we'll have the place enhanced sufficiently to be able to accommodate visitors and tourists stopping by.
Jack Harris, Corinne Affleck, an interesting conversation. Thank you both for coming on the show with me today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda. Sorry. Thank you.
And thanks to Smiths Falls Hyundai. I was asked to give them a plug. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock, so do join us then. Thanks for listening.